Hi, and welcome to Stay. So glad you have chosen to join us. How do you love well when others or situations kind of make that difficult? Or do you ever find yourself getting frustrated with how people are treating each other, of how maybe you've been treated, or how you respond to others when they are not making it easy? Right? All we have to do is look around the world and we can see that loving others well is in short supply. In fact, we can even feel like it's oppressive. Like it'll never change. What's the point? And so how do we figure out how to love well, how to love ourselves well, how to love others well when things aren't exactly the way we want them or the way that we think they should be? For today, we are getting into some words of Jesus, and Jesus was all about love. He talked about it so much. In fact, if we go to Matthew, the 22nd chapter, verse 36, he's actually asked a question of, "Teacher, what is the greatest commandment in the law?" And his response in verses 37 through 40 are, he replied, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your being, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. You must love your neighbor as you love yourself. All the law and the prophets depend upon these two commandments." And it's interesting because Jesus is quoting Leviticus and Deuteronomy. So he's quoting much older stuff and saying, hey, we need to pay attention to this. And with what we're reading through today, we're actually looking into the book of John. And in John, there's all these instances where Jesus is talking about love. And he's like, hey, you're going to be known by the way you love one another. Hey, you've got this command to love. And so when we're realizing, okay, Jesus, you talk a whole lot about love. And what is your life like? And we go, oh, well, actually, it gets really complicated and really fast. In fact, the part that we're going to read today is right before he is going to be betrayed by Judas, denied by Peter. The other apostles are all going to scatter and leave him alone to go through some of the most excruciatingly horrific things that humans can do to one another without them present. Like they're like, yeah, I don't want to be a part of that. And to think about how he is on this path where he's going to have those experiences. He's already experienced where people hate him, where people dislike him because he heals other people. They dislike him, they hate him because he loves other people. And yet, here he is, he's still talking about it. He's like, all right, we got another thing to look at. We've got to think about how we love when. And what's interesting is that love is very complex, and how we love well, right? It depends upon the situation we find ourselves facing because love looks differently in all kinds of situations. And so to think about that, of how he tries to address each and every one of them that we kind of find ourselves facing. And so today with what we're looking at, he is like, all right, how do you love well, especially those that are kind of closer? We get all of the things about how we love others, the stranger, the person who is in need. And here he's like, all right, but how do you love like your friends? How do you love your coworkers? How do you love the people that your family that you see like regularly? Because sometimes those that we're closest to, we struggle the most with. And so to begin, we are getting into John, the 15th chapter, verses 1 through 4. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vineyard keeper. He removes any of the branches that don't produce fruit, and he trims any branch that produces fruit so that it will produce even more fruit. You are already trimmed because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me and I will remain in you. A branch can't produce fruit by itself, but must remain in me. All right, so we're back to speaking in an analogy, a metaphor, just like we were last week. And he was talking about what does good shepherd mean? That word good and all that it entails, and what does he mean by that and how he's connected to that. and how we are connected to all of that. And so here he's setting up. He's like, here's another aspect. I am the vine. My Father is the vineyard keeper. And so to recognize here how vine, that image of vine, is important. And he immediately goes into, and my Father is the vineyard keeper. He removes any of my branches that don't produce fruit. So right here, a sense of trimming. And sometimes we want to interpret this in the negative. We want to go immediately into, oh my goodness, cutting off. And yet, we need to be careful of that, because there's an element in agriculture, in pruning vines, of going, all right, this needs a little trim and it will flourish even more. And to recognize how we let go of stuff or don't, and how that holds us back, how that helps us flourish or not. And here for Jesus, he's like, yeah, I get trimmed. Like, I got to let stuff go. Like, I got to move on. And we see that in other stories that we read about him, where he's on a path, he's saying one thing, and then somebody responds to him in such a way that he's like, ooh, maybe, you know what? I need to respond a little bit differently. I need to go in a different direction with this moment. We see it earlier in John, if we were to back up, when he turns water into wine, because he begins with, Mary's like, hey, I need your help. And he's like, nope, nope, I can't do it. And then he's like, oh yeah, okay, this is, I am going to help. And to recognize that there are things that Jesus has to let go of. That as he's going through this ministry, as he's understanding how to live into that love of what it takes to love all people everywhere in all of the different situations and contexts, of going, all right, what do I need to let go of? And so for ourselves, to begin that process of going, all right, if I'm going to love well, what are the things that start to get in the way of loving others, of loving myself, of loving God, of loving these teachings of Jesus? What are these things that are getting in the way that absolutely are keeping me from flourishing? And so we are to ask ourselves that. Continuing on in verses 5-8. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, then you will produce much fruit. Without me, you can't do anything. If you don't remain in me, you will be like a branch that's thrown out and dries up. Those branches are gathered up and thrown into a fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask for whatever you want and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified when you produce much fruit and in this way prove that you are my disciples. All right, so once again, right, he states, I am the vine. And now he's like, all right, and you guys are the branches. And so what are you producing? What says you're connected, right? Because that's what this is all about. It's an analogy for that connection, for that nourishment. Because what comes from the vine, right? The vine is nourishing everything that it produces. All right, so if we're thinking of a grapevine, right? Grapes are nourished off the vine and they are connected so that they can produce something. And so when we're thinking about that, of okay, so what Jesus is getting at here is how are we connected to that love of Jesus? How are we connected to the teachings of Jesus? How are we connected to the life of Jesus in such a way that it changes what we are producing? It changes our reactions. It changes how we love. And on one level, that seems like so easy, or that's easy to say, or that's a really simple message, heard that before. And yet on another level, it's really hard to do. Because if it were easy to do, there wouldn't be any more wars. There wouldn't be any more violence. There wouldn't be any more beefs between people. There wouldn't be that awful tension that can happen between people when they disagree, right? None of that. It would all be taken care of. And so it's kind of interesting, right? In some ways, it's simple to think about. In other ways, it's very hard to carry out. And yet, if we're like, well, how do I live well? How do I love others well? We have to go, all right, so what are some of these teachings that can help nourish us, that can help encourage us, that actually give us a sense, right? Because there's a sense of when to let go, of when to go, you know what? I think this is all dried up. I think it's got to be moved on. It needs to be burned up. So often we think of this in the negative, but again, going back to what Jesus earlier said about he himself is trimmed, of going, all right, what are the things getting in our way? We got to let go of. And then to think through some of those teachings where he's like, all right, well, how are you that healing presence? How are you listening to others? How are you showing up? How do you care when the situation is not the easiest? How are you honest and compassionate? Right? It's this moment of recognizing how life is not that easy, how loving others is not that easy. And yet Jesus is like, all right, get some encouragement from me. Get some strength. Get some perspective from the way he lives, from the way that he challenges us to live. Because Jesus is all about this love being transformative. And again, we talked about that last week, of how he is willing to risk his life for us to be transformed by that love. And so here, to go, all right, there are the things I need to let go of, and what are the things that we need to access, to nourish us, to teach us? What are the things we need to learn today so that we can love others well? Continuing on in verses 9 through 14. As the Father loved me, I too have loved you. Remain in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love, just as I kept my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I have said these things to you so that my joy will be in you and your joy will be complete. This is my commandment. Love each other just as I have loved you. No one has greater love than to give up one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. All right. So, whole lot of love language, right? Jesus moves right in. Like if you're on the vine, if you're being nourished, you're being encouraged, it's about accessing that love. And what's interesting is, right, that word love, simple four letters, but extraordinarily complex, it holds a whole lot of things, right? Because love has compassion, it has forgiveness, it has encouragement, it has boundaries, it has health, it has, right? We can start going through the list. It is patient, it is kind. If we're going back to 1 Corinthians 13, right? There are all these things that get incorporated into this four-letter word. And Jesus is like, yeah, it changes everything. It really can when we begin to access it, when we begin to try to live it. And so here, of going, all right, well, how is that changing our life? And he actually says it, I have said these things to you so that my joy will be in you and your joy will be complete. Now that's kind of interesting, right? Because if we're feeling like we don't have a whole lot of joy, if we're struggling with joy, if we're struggling in feeling joy in our relationships, of sensing or feeling of experiencing that joy in our life, we have to begin to question how we are loving ourselves and others, how we are loving and living those teachings of Jesus. If we feel like, you know what, I haven't known joy in years, we have to begin to question ourselves as to why. How are we cutting ourselves off from that joy? How are we not really loving that well? We love when it is convenient. We love when it feels good. We love when it ticks all the boxes and the list and everything else. But how are we living well with love when it's not going our way? Because when we love well in all of the situations, we begin to find that joy. We begin to find it in new and kind of exciting ways. So when we're thinking about that love, James Baldwin, the author, says, love does not begin and end the way we seem to think it does. Love is a battle. Love is a war. Love is growing up. Mother Teresa says, spread love everywhere you go. Let no one ever come to you without leaving happier. So right there, not easy, but it's how we are showing up into situations. Even if we're not getting that love back of going, well, wait a minute, I can still share that love. I can still push that love out. I can still try to extend it, whether it's accepted or not. And so here, Jesus is going, if you really want to know what joy is, it's knowing that you've tried to love most fully in whatever situation, and maybe it didn't work out the way you wanted it to, but your joy can be complete in knowing that you tried, knowing that you showed up in the situation with others in love, and that you tried to make it clear in all kinds of ways. And then he ends with, no one has greater love than to give up one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. That sense of friendship here with Jesus, that's really important because he's moving this conversation of love into a mutual thing. That it's not over, it's not saying like lording over of you do this, you have to do this, but instead God, you know what? We're friends here. There's a mutuality in the relationship. Jesus is like, I've extended love to you. Now, how does it change the way you show up for others, the way you show up for yourself, the way you show up with love for even the teachings of Jesus, the life of Jesus? And to begin to allow that back and forth, kind of like waves in an ocean of going, all right, how do I let that love come to me? And how do I allow that love to go out to others? And he says that word command, and sometimes we think of the word command as, again, over and kind of pointing at and trying to get at. But to recognize that Jesus is trying to say, this is really important. This is an important guiding principle. If you're willing to try and show up in love for your friends in ways that maybe are much healthier, in ways that actually produce a mutuality in the relationship, in ways that actually encourage and build others up, we are accessing that love of Jesus. We are accessing the love of God. And so to begin to be able to incorporate that kind of thinking of going, all right, well, how am I showing up for others? Is my joy complete? Because if it's not, then what do I have to do to find that joy? How do I need to love better? How do I need to love differently? How do I need to love in such a way that draws boundaries, is an encouragement, shows respect? How do I love in a way that reflects the love of Jesus? Continuing on in verses 15 through 17. I don't call you servants any longer because servants don't know what their master is doing. Instead, I call you friends because everything I heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You didn't choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you could go and produce fruit and so that your fruit could last. As a result, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give to you. I give you these commandments so that you can love each other. So just in case we miss the mutuality that Jesus was trying to get at in the first thing of saying, you are my friends, he reiterates. He's like, no, 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 I don't call you servants any longer because servants don't know what their master is doing. Instead, I call you friends. This is really important when we're thinking about our own friendships, when we're thinking about how do we love well. Of those that we're closest to, how is there a mutuality? Because sometimes, right, when we are trying to love well, it can get messy kind of quick. Sometimes maybe we even feel taken advantage of. Maybe we feel like one is carrying the other, or maybe we ourselves are the ones that are in need more of. And here it's asking, what do we have to do for a mutuality in that love? How do we love well so that it is a back and forth? There is a balance to it, a balance to that love, a health to that love. And that should get us pondering. All right, What gets in the way of us experiencing that? What are the responses that we have? What are the things that we want or need in a relationship? What are the things that we say or do in relationships? And does it have an aspect of mutuality, or is it more of a taking? And even with Jesus, right? So often it's easy to get into, since, you know, maybe we don't really see him in front of us. Maybe we don't notice his presence of God. You know what? I just need Jesus when, like a wish list kind of thing. I need that love when, not understanding it, that it is all the time, that there is a mutuality in that love, that back and forth of loving those teachings so much that we want to incorporate them into our lives instead of only when I've got time for that, I'll do it next week, of making those excuses of why we can't take the time to recognize the love or to share that love, to recognize how Jesus is working within our lives or can work in our lives, and how we are sharing that out with others. Because maybe, well, you know, maybe I'll have a little more energy next week. All right, think about the things that we say or that we do because we kind of push it off, because we don't have time for, because I can get by without. And yet, how often are we experiencing joy? How often do we think, you know what? All right, how do I live and love well right here? Lao Tzu says, being deeply loved by someone gives you strength, while loving someone deeply gives you courage. So right there, and we're thinking about, okay, what Jesus is saying, and he's like, yeah, we're friends. Like, there's a mutuality. Like, I love, I chose you, and now you've got the chance to love and to love deeply in new and wondrous ways, to even love those teachings in life of Jesus right on back, and to think about how we receive strength from that and how it gives us courage to live. If we're wondering how to love well, if we're wondering, how do I deal when I'm trying to love and yet it's so frustrating, or that I'm not getting back what I put out, of going, wait a minute, in the context of Jesus, in the way that Jesus is teaching, of going, there is a mutuality there, and that become a basis for the way that we love one another, that becomes an example, a model for how we engage the world around us, how we want to receive that love, how we want to show that love. Finishing up in verses 18 through 21. If the world hates you, know that it hated me first. If you belong to the world would love you as its own. However, I have chosen you out of the world, and you don't belong to the world. This is why the world hates you. Remember what I told you. Servants aren't greater than their master. If the world harassed me, it will harass you too. If it kept my word, it will keep yours. The world will do all these things to you on account of my name, because it doesn't know the one who sent me. If the world hates you, know it hated me first. Love is an interesting thing, especially the love that Jesus is talking about. Because what he's talking about is a very different type of love that isn't based on things. When he says the world, here's what we need to hear. Love of money, love of fame, love of getting one over on somebody, love of revenge, love of busyness to exhaustion, love of, and so he's saying, you know what? People may think you're kind of crazy, that you're not all about certain things, that you're not all about, you know what, you should take revenge. You were so wrong there. Instead, he's like, you know what, that's not the love I'm talking about. He's talking about a love that's healing. He's talking about a love that's encouraging. He's talking about a love that will actually transform lives in a positive way, as opposed to directing, destroying, and diminishing others, and even ourselves. And so to think about that, there are going to be those who are like, well, they did you wrong. You should go do them wrong. There are those who will say, you should be more worried about success than. There are those who will say, wait a minute, your achievements define how lovable you are. There are those who define love based on a very different criteria. And sometimes we are impacted by that. Sometimes we get caught up in it, and sometimes we are trying to resist it because we don't want any part of that. And so Jesus is like, yeah, that may happen. That may happen, but to know that that love of Jesus never stops, that that vine will continually nourish us even when we think, this is just not good. I don't like this situation. I don't like those people. And so how do we find nourishment and strength from the love of Jesus, who is trying to change our perspectives, who's trying to change how we respond, who's trying to change and say, you know what, no more excuses. No more saying, I'm just too busy. No more saying, you know what, maybe when. No more saying, well, as soon as I get them out of our life, then. But instead, how do you begin to love well now? How do you begin to love well in a way that is connected, that is nourished and fed and strengthened by the teachings of Jesus? Of when we come in contact with someone who's very difficult, who maybe we are close with, of going, well, how did Jesus handle that? There was forgiveness. There was prayer. There was a sense of, well, how do we move forward? There was a sense of being honest about the situation. And so here, Jesus is trying to shape and show us a new way of loving others. And so how will we be challenged this day? How will we be able to go, you know what do I need to let go of that's really getting in the way? What is the mindset, the excuse, the perspective? What are the things that are getting in the way of us loving well? What are the things holding us back? And what are the things we need to start taking in? We need to be nourished by. We need to be strengthened by. What are those things that can help us move forward and through and with others? Our challenge today, how will we love well in all kinds of situations? How will we not allow our frustrations, our dismay, our like, how can this be, have the last word? But instead, how do we allow love to have that last word on our actions, our words, and our lives? Amen.